This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Our next guest, Macca, is Ed Santow, who's one of the Human Rights Commissioners. And we want to actually take the conversation about religious freedom just a step further and hopefully link it back to some of the discussion that we had with
Anna Brown.
Anna Brown and, of course, Graham and Bill. So good morning to you, Ed. How are you this morning?
Very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, look, thank you for your time this morning.
Good to have you back.
Indeed.
One of the things we're interested in is, so the inquiry being headed by Philip Ruddock is about religious freedoms. Now, obviously, this applies to the to the freedoms that apply to all religions, doesn't it?
That's correct. Yeah.
So,
and in fact, it also applies to people who have no religion at all.
Of course. So all the different franchises are covered.
That's right.
And more importantly, what does religious freedom actually mean?
Well, so under international human rights law and under the treaties that we've signed up to, it means two things. It means that the right to hold your religious belief, but also to hold particular thoughts and conscience, and that's absolute. There's no situation at all where that can be restricted in any way, because it's really about what's going on in your own mind. The second dimension is the right, the technical legal word is the right to manifest your freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. And that's what you go about in your daily lives doing actively because of your religion or your other ethical principles. Now, that is a really important right, but in certain circumstances it can be restricted or limited, and that's largely for really practical reasons, because when you're going out doing things, you're more likely to come into contact with others, and so it's fundamentally about making sure that your right to, let's say, religious freedom doesn't infringe someone else's basic human rights.
So where do you draw the lines there? Because it may be possible for someone's religious belief to prejudice or discriminate against somebody else. How do you deal with that issue?
How do you square that off?
Yeah. Look, I mean, two really important points. The first is that for the vast majority of people, the vast majority of religious activity, it can just go along in kind of parallel to the rest of everybody else's lives, and it has no negative impact. And that's something we really should remember, because it's important, because otherwise we can kind of lose the sense of proportion. But there are some really difficult issues where at least some people's religious belief will come into conflict. And then it's not an uncommon situation in human rights law, that the key is to find an accommodation between those rights so that everybody is able to live out their rights. I mean, in practical terms here in Australia now, in 2018, I guess that there are some principles that will have to guide us. And the first is that if we make any change to our religious freedom law, it can't be at the expense of some other group's protection of their human rights. And that's really fundamental.
So, Ed, how, at the end of the day, this inquiry will come down with a report, which will go to the Prime Minister. What then is the process? Well, obviously, Prime Minister and it will, I assume, be presented to Cabinet. There's been some discussion as to whether there will need to be, or whether they want legislation to enshrine this. Is that your understanding, that, you know, there's a few assumptions there, but there's a report, goes to the Prime Minister, it's then presented to Cabinet. Who will make the recommendations to Cabinet, do you think? Will it be the Prime Minister? Will it be the Attorney General? You know, who will it be?
Yeah, so it was the Prime Minister that commissioned this inquiry, and so you know, I guess it's in his responsibility, at least for now. I guess, you know, it's probably impossible to predict everything that the Ruddock Review might find, and so we should probably wait to see what happens. But I think there's been an enormous focus on what laws need to change, and that's to some extent appropriate. But I always kind of come back to that saying, you know, for a person with a hammer, every problem is a nail. I'm a lawyer, and so I tend to look, you know, quickly to the law as well. And clearly, there are some laws that need consideration. But my sense is that the bigger change that we need to make here is not about the law at all. It's more about bringing our community together after a very divisive, bruising public debate, not kind of have like endless battles about you know, particular words in legislation, but what are the things we need to do to help our community really value its diversity, the diverse members, be they religious, be they members of the LGBTI community, be they members of different ethnic communities. And so I think we should probably put even more attention on those other things. So what are the education programs that we need? What are the, I guess, bodies that the government needs to engage with in order to hear the particular concerns of religious groups?
Look, I think that's absolutely right, Ed, but I can still see an inherent conflict between a set of religious frameworks which, in fact, can, and in some cases do, discriminate against certain segments of the population, LGBTI people being one group. Of course, there are many others. How do you deal with that conflict then? That's the bit that I'm still a bit stuck on.
I mean, it's something that, I mean, we're not Robinson Crusoe here. We're certainly not the first country to enact marriage equality legislation. And so we can look to overseas, but we can also look to our own history. So, you know, a few decades ago, there was an enormous concern from some religious groups about changes to our family law, basically making it less cumbersome and complex and difficult for people to be able to divorce. Mm. And the balance that was struck there was that in a secular state, it should be, you know, relatively straightforward. There shouldn't be any you know, unreasonable obstacles to people being able to get married or divorced. But similarly, religious communities should be able to teach their own views about marriage. And that balance seems to me to be a pretty fair one. So religious schools are able to teach and have been teaching for decades since those family laws changed that, for example, it is sinful to engage in sex outside of marriage. They can continue to do that. They have continued to do that. The law itself hasn't in any way inhibited that teaching. And so I guess what we need to remember in 2018 is that there's a balance to be struck. We've always been able to do it, I think, fairly well in the past as kind of social reform takes place. The vast majority of other countries that we would compare ourselves to are able to do this without kind of completely tearing themselves apart. So we should be confident that we can move forward. But it's got to be, when I talk about moving forward, we can't do it where we say, okay, well, the LGBTI community, for example, has to take some kind of hit in order to protect freedom of religion. That would be unfair, and that would mean that the kind of really important progress we made on marriage equality will come at an unreasonable cost.
In some ways, Ed, you know, I share your positive thoughts about this. What troubles me is when the Prime Minister commissioned this inquiry, and during the postal survey, the Prime Minister said that religious freedoms were more important to him than marriage equality. So, you know, he then calls an inquiry, he's going to get the report. What concerns me is that at the end of the day, the queer community is already discriminated against in an institutional sense. It allows institutions to discriminate against us. Anything that builds on that, that strengthens that, that enhances that, is clearly unacceptable. And that's what troubles me about this. It will be the salami tactic, one slice at a time. I admire your positivity. I just don't share it because I understand the politics of this, and the politics of this is that the Prime Minister has a particular view. The majority of his cabinet may or may not have that view, but they believe, you know, that I think they kick this down the road, and the Parliament, quite possibly, depending on the legislation, might try and enshrine some things that are happening that actually currently aren't acceptable, but will allow that to happen in the name of religious freedom. Your thought on that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, during the marriage equality debate, both the Prime Minister and the opposition leader made a really important statement that was completely in agreement with each other, and the leader of the Greens said very much the same thing, and that is marriage equality can't come at the expense of some new form of discrimination against the LGBTI community. I think that's absolutely fundamental. So any reform that we're talking about going forward has to adhere to that principle. And it seems like there's good, strong agreement across, you know, party political lines that that's a really important principle. And so I think any reform process, proposal, has to be, I guess, held up to that standard. And if it fails that standard, it's certainly not something that we at the Human Rights Commission would support. And it sounds like it's not something that would pass political muster either.
I don't think. Yeah, I think getting it through the House and the Senate will be a challenge. Look, we'll stay in touch, Ed, because the committee's due to report at the end of March. I expect that'll probably be extended. We welcome your feedback and your advocacy on this issue. It's much appreciated.
And, of course, your analysis on what comes out of the committee's work.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. And, I think we're all waiting with great interest to see what comes next.
Cool.
Good on you.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.